welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We have more marketing for you, but what we really want to do is we want to kind of recap on some stuff and kind of give you a look forward of what's going to be going on or what you can do in your community and how you can kind of start kickstarting your community to getting into a constitutional county or creating a constitutional community. As you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and you are listening to the only show that actually goes through the academic evidence. And what we're trying to do is give you the empirical data as well as the academic evidence to prove to you that we actually have a course forward that is not designed whimsically, that it was what we're using is exactly what the framers gave us. When I say the framers, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, the framers. So if you have any questions, you need some more clarification, send us a comment. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Before I dive into the community thing, we have an upcoming petition, and I want to announce this on a daily basis so that when the petition hits, when it finally lands on our website and on the We the People Foundation website, and hopefully it'll also be available to you on the National Liberty Alliance website, we will have a petition demanding Congress do their job that they have taken an oath to do. They take an oath to support the Constitution. The Constitution guarantees that the United States government will not only ensure that each state has a Republican form of government, but the United States government is guaranteeing that it will protect each state from an invasion. Well, they haven't done anything regarding the invasion on our southern border. And as a matter of fact, for the past 4 years, they fought Trump in actually trying to fulfill that. And even though Trump didn't know that he was fulfilling a constitutional obligation, well, we're going to hold them accountable, because it not only says that they're supposed to protect us, it tells, the Constitution tells them how they have to protect us. To provide for, the Congress shall have the power to provide for calling forth the militia to repel invasions. There you go. So we're going to make it very plain and simple. Congress has to do their job. They failed to do their job, and we're asking the court to actually, so we're going to ask the court for a summary judgment to force Congress to do their job if Congress fails to respond to our petition. They are obligated to reasonably respond. I want you to understand this. When you take an oath that you said you're going to do something and you do nothing, and you actually support the actions that are occurring that are rebellious against the Constitution, the Congress, many in Congress, not all, but many in Congress are supporting this rebellion on our southern border. And therefore, we will also seek to have every Congress member removed for failing to support the Constitution and for directly supporting or indirectly supporting the rebellion against our immigration laws and the sanctity of our border. Anywho, as you know, we always have a listener drive. We beg, beseech, we plead that if you would go to your like-minded friends, then we want you to start getting involved, and we want them to get involved. Now, if you just want to be a term would be parrot, or a repeater, or however you want to do it, okay, that's fine, as long as people are getting the message. But what we try to do here is we try to actually go through the source documents, the founding documents. So when we go through the ratification debates, which we will begin on the 29th of March, all things going the way it's supposed to go. Anyway, so we'll begin the ratification debates on the 29th of March. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, you should be able to take these podcasts, once we put these up on the website, you should be able to take these and actually use these as like a audiobook. There you go. Instead of reading them, you can just listen. Now, we're not reading the ratification debates verbatim, line by line. I am highlighting and grabbing very specific sections that provide the evidence necessary to prove how that Constitution was defined and clarified by the framers. So, as we know, having this type of knowledge, having this type of information, helps us actually quantify exactly what the Constitution is and how it was defined. You've heard me say this in previous shows, that we need to create like a canonized definition of what every line in the Constitution means. We don't need a justice to interpret, especially when it has been very clearly delineated in the ratification debates. And so anything that we don't have clarified might be left up to interpretation, but I'm going to tell you that the parts of the Constitution where Patrick Henry and the rest of these folks saw holes in the Constitution are what they thought would be, I'll just say, portals or places where they might be able to twist the meaning and definition. These things were discussed and debated and clarified. And in so doing, the states that actually debated the Constitution vigorously has given us legal definitions and legally binding terms of this compact, the Constitution. So anyway, we want to also tell you that we got this Red Pill Expo coming up in June 4th, 5th, and 6th. And to be honest, I just don't think, I hope to be recovered enough by then. I mean, that'll be 2 months later. And if I can make it, I will try my best to be there. And I hope that you take the time to go there as well. There's nothing like walking through a convention or a forum. And when I say convention, they're not going to be rewriting the Constitution. It's an expo, so you're actually going to be rubbing elbows and shaking hands with, you know, guys like Tom DeWeese, Trevor Lawton, and so forth. And there will be lots of conservatives that will be there, you know, doing expositions as not just those who are going to be speaking. So anyway, you definitely want to put it on your calendar and start planning, because you've got a couple of months to get there, a few months now. Anyway, I have talked about your birthright. I've talked about birthright citizenship and responsibility to your citizenship. And we've kind of covered the roles that you have as a U.S. citizen. We talked about petitions. We've talked about common law grand juries. And we also talked about militia. Now, the militia is a county element. It is broken down by counties. Currently, the militia, or what they call the militia, the National Guard, is not done that way. And as a matter of fact, it's not done where the sheriff actually has cognizance over the county militia to deploy and use in times of civil unrest, insurrections, and or for whatever purpose that the sheriff would want to employ. Now, I believe when these guys go in service, they should be compensated. They should be volunteers to some extent, but when they're actually deployed in service, they should be compensated. But putting all that aside, every one of us is a part of the militia. And when I say a part of the militia, and this has been discussed, that, you know, whether women are a part of the militia or not. If you go back to the Revolutionary War, and as a matter of fact, as Francine points out from the NLA, that even though it may have been the men who were pulling triggers, women were equally involved in supporting the revolution. And back in those days, there was, I would just say, some constraints on what women were allowed to do. Now, Congress has basically opened the door that women can go into combat. Now, it's not that they can be forced. It is a voluntary thing for women to join or select combat role positions within the military. And as you read the Constitution, the federal government has the authority, and actually I'll get to it. I'll actually get to Section 1 of the Constitution right here real quick. That the Congress will have the power to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States. And then it goes respecting, reserving to the states respectively, the appointment of officers and the authority of the training according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. So Congress does have the ability to kind of, you know, say, okay, we're going to include women in this. Putting that aside, and we're not asking for women to get involved in, you know, going out and getting dirt on them and pulling triggers and you know, not necessarily live fire exercises, but field exercises, those types of things. If they want to, I think we should respect that. But I believe that everybody has a role in the militia. When you look at the role of the militia are those who are supporting the Constitution, not just trigger pullers. And so the militia, actually, because if you go through history, well, there's my warning. I didn't even see this coming. We're going to get into committees of safety, committees of correspondence, and the militia, because the militia is basically all-inclusive of the county. We will be right back to kind of help you understand what and how you can get involved. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Excuse me. And so what I was just talking about is the militia isn't just a bunch of trigger pullers. And it's not just those who go actually into combat or go into harm's way or deployed for any type of purpose or what have you. There are other community roles that need to be held and need to be maintained, even if the militia actually has to go and deploy somewhere in the county, somewhere in the state, or abroad. And so some of these roles are really, and in working with Bob Schultz of the We the People Foundation, he calls it citizen vigilance, that all citizens must be vigilant in holding government accountable. Well, the mechanism at the local level is the militia of citizen vigilance. This is where
this is where everybody should be coming together as a community and working together. Now, we have an ideological divide, and we see that those who are progressives, those who are Democrats, actually want, and they create their own, what they want to call their mob, or because they don't call themselves a militia, but they do have these small little insurgencies, such as Black Lives Matter, La Raza, and so forth. And so, or gangs, and they're not about upholding the law and upholding the Constitution. So we have to get organized, and we have to be better organized than we are currently, and we need to be better organized than them. If you understand the importance of organization and understanding what you have to do, then we're telling you, and we're asking and pleading, and actually when I say telling, I'm informing you that there are more than enough opportunities for you to get involved regardless of your gender and age. Excuse me. And so I'm hoping to get on top of this pneumonia, because I really need to get the surgery done so I can start getting my life back. Anywho, as we look at what some of the responsibilities that would be available for you, if you like to do training, then our recruiting, and or if you understand petitions, that's just three functions right there that need to be done, that people can get organized and start working together and actually start applying your time and energy to actually something good. Not that you aren't doing good things by working and raising your family, but we are in the, let's say, the we're at the precipice, but we're in a revolutionary war, and the pressures of this revolution, this Bolshevik revolution, is getting very intense. And we're going to actually talk about what the heck's been going on, and that's what the marketing is all for. But we want you to also understand there's the political side to this. Many people in the militia think, oh, well, I don't have to be political. We're just supposed to here to support the to protect our Second Amendment rights. That is absolutely incorrect. Any person that says that they're only, that their focus is the Second Amendment and supporting our rights, and then they just, gloss over the Constitution. No, it's about supporting the entire Constitution. We don't cherry pick what parts of the Constitution we want to support. We support it fully. And so what you can start doing is you can start getting involved at your county level. How do you do this? You join the NLA. The NLA has a structure. They have the education that will be forthcoming. They already have some education. But we're going to be working together in really providing a thorough education for you regarding the Constitution, regarding these different roles, how to do petitions, and how to actually do some certain things in the legal operations that have to be done down at the county level, like preparing people for a common law grand jury and so forth. There's the jury administration, and what we want you to do is we want you to start figuring out where you think you can fit, what's best for you. When people send me an email and they say, hey, what can I do? How can I help? The first thing I do is I ask, well, what do you want to do and what are you good at? Because 9 times out of 10, if you have somebody who volunteers that has the opportunity to do something they really enjoy, then they're actually going to work harder at it. They're going to be more successful. Because when you're enjoying what you're doing, then 9 times out of 10, it is a pathway for success. It is a catalyst for keeping somebody engaged and involved in the process. So some other things that we need to do is we need to have events. You need to start having county events where people come together and they start, whether it's the CO of the militia or, just the getting organized, having the sheriff. As a matter of fact, in talking to an NLA leader last night, he basically started by going out to, and this is, he wanted to get into the grassroots movement, but what he wanted to do was get his community organized. So he went to the sheriff and asked the sheriff, what are the primary crimes that are, you know, prevalent in our county. And so the sheriff identified, you know, car theft or what have you. He didn't get into what that is, but this is something you can do. You can go to your sheriff and say, what are the crimes that we're facing in the county that we kind of need to be more vigilant as a citizen watch or what have you? And what they started doing was he just went around, and as a matter of fact, I believe he told me he spent maybe 1 or 2 hours on Sunday knocking on doors and talking to people about the crime problem and what he was suggesting that they do. And he convinced enough people that on a good rainy, a hard rainstorm, he had 50 people show up in his first meeting. And it has been maybe not the booming success that overwhelmed him, but it was very successful. And he's been very successful in getting more and more people in the community involved. Now, any property owner would love to get involved in just fighting the crime, but that's the beginning of this, and that's the beginning of realizing that you are a community, that you have to work together, and in the bigger picture, we are under threat. It may not seem like we have a direct threat, but what Washington, D.C. is doing, what the federal government is doing by violating the Constitution, and states are doing, we actually have to stand up and prepare ourselves and actually start taking direct action. Some of those direct actions, like I said, is the petitioning, common law grand juries, and using events to help bring people together. So if you want to get involved, I would highly recommend you reach out to the NLA. Now, currently, they don't charge for membership. I would like to see, because one of the things that's proven, and so I'm not trying to insult you, but one of the things that's proven is that if you are paying to be a part of something to help support the financial costs for the operations and everything else, 9 times out of 10, when there's a meeting, you'll make it because you're paying into this. You're financially and mentally, emotionally, and I'll just say, if you want to even say spiritually, you're spiritually vested and involved in what the heck is going on in your community. This is why you need to get involved. But we're going to talk more about this as things really start solidifying for the NLA as they start preparing. And you may find that you might be in a state and in a county where you may be the only NLA person, because there are over 3,000 counties. And even though there may be over 1,000 people involved in the NLA, that doesn't mean that, you know, they have 1,000 counties or what have you. And I don't know what the real numbers are. I'm just throwing some numbers out here. What you need to understand is that if you heed what I am saying as to what is it going to take to get you involved, now you understand where you can go and who you can work with to get involved in the community efforts. We point you to the NLA and on the politics side, so the NLA for the community security, those types of things, but on the politics side, you need to get involved with the Constitution Party, period. If you want to start understanding the Constitution, getting exposed to what the Constitution really means, these are the two organizations that are there ready and willing and able to actually help you gain that understanding and gain, I'll just say, a perception, a paradigm of self-actualization, of being involved and getting involved. Now, one of the things that you may have known, and we all kind of, another stimulus package, another pork barrel project, another waste of taxpayer money, was signed yesterday by Biden, and it was $1.9 trillion package. Okay, so do you know how much money we have, or the federal government has taken our money, or supposedly they're leveraging our money on doing things that they have no business doing? Do you know what that total amount is? Well, when Trump was in office, he started with an $8.3 billion quick package to help with some unemployment or what have you. Then he threw a $225 billion package out before his big $2.2 trillion stimulus that had a bunch of pork barrel crap in it.
Later on, he threw out a $483 billion supplement aid or what have you. And I don't have the dates for this, but actually USA Today actually has a graphic depiction of how all of this money had been, you know, thrown into or basically printed out of thin air to throw into different aspects of the world, because everybody knows that some of this money is going to gender support from, you know, or gender dysphoria and support in Pakistan and some of these other worlds, and they have no business doing this. But the tune and the total I'll give you when we come back after these two breaks. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so those of you that have the talent of being able to calculate numbers probably came to the conclusion that this is probably over $5 trillion. And if you did, well, then you're correct. It's five and three quarter trillion, almost $6 trillion. Over the course of 1 year in supposedly combating COVID. Now, I want you to understand that even though the Constitution allows the federal government to basically exercise the good faith of American credit and the credit of the Republic in taking on debt, they cannot take on debt that is contrary to the enumerated powers. In other words, they only have the power to do those very specific things that are enumerated. Well, if they're spending money and they're taxing us on anything that is not enumerated, like COVID or any type of medical problems or any type of welfare going out to countries to help them with their gender dysphoria or to promote the homosexual agenda, I guess that's the best way to put it, because I could just go down that LGBTQ, M&A, or FCZ. I don't know. The fact of the matter is that it was defined during the Constitution that they could only spend money, they could only make treaties, they could only exert their authority within the jurisdiction of the Constitution.
And this is what, and we're going to get into this, but I want you to understand the magnitude of what's going on. And this is George Nicholas, and this is on the 19th, June 19th of 1787, during the Virginia ratification debates. And he says, "The worthy member says that they can make a treaty relinquishing our rights and inflicting punishments, because all treaties declared paramount to the Constitution and laws of the states. An attentive consideration of this will show that the committee that they can do no such thing. The provision of the sixth article is that this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. They can by this make no treaty which shall be repugnant to one the spirit of the Constitution, or two, inconsistent with the delegated powers." They already pointed out with the Supremacy Clause that only those laws that are in pursuance, in other words, within the enumerated powers of this Constitution, can they make laws. Do they have the power to create debt? Because what is debt? When you go create debt with the bank, you're going to mortgage a house, you want to start a business, you just need some money, and you go down to the bank, what do? You just basically use, you know, nice words, and they say, well, okay, we're going to give you money. No. What you do is you create a treaty, you create a contract, a financial agreement that basically states they're going to give you this money for you to go do this thing. Now, when the United States government goes out and prints money to obtain debt, then that debt has to be, and the money they use can only be in pursuant to those powers of the Constitution, my friend. So we need to stop. We need to step in. We cannot allow them to continually mortgage and unconstitutionally try to leverage us away from our Constitution. Because what's going to happen if all of a sudden a financial reset hits because they're spending money like a drunken sailor? And I mean no disrespect to sailors, but that's just an adage. And they're spending money as if there is an unlimited supply. And we know that that's not true. What we do know is that they're putting us in peril, because if they create the right circumstances, these countries that are servicing our debt will step in and say, you know what, we don't trust you anymore. You have to pay us. When that happens, my friends, this is where the states stand up and say, no, we don't owe you this money. This is where republic review comes in. If the states initiate republic review, all they have to do is challenge the veracity of these debt contracts that they've created to say, where in the Constitution, and we actually have clarification through the ratification debates that state, you have no ability to create a treaty that is one repugnant to and or not in pursuant to those enumerated powers in the Constitution. You understand, my friends? I am scared to death of the peril that they are putting us in, because what will happen is way too many people right now are, let's just say, lapdogs for the government. They just believe whatever the government says is true. They've been lying to us for years. When I say the government, I'm saying the people that are supposedly supposed to be supporting the Constitution, and they're not. So what is it going to take to get you involved? The things you can do is you can start getting involved at the local level. And bottom line, the premise, the drive behind everything that the NLA is doing, and I'm writing a check here that I don't have any backing on, but I'm banking the Constitution Party. Those people who are in the Constitution Party will be equally demanding republic review, the full compliance of the Constitution at every level, and our focus is at the federal government first, or the general government first. This is because if the general government falls and they are way up there in debt and all of these other problems that they've created, and they're creating these problems on purpose. They're creating these problems to enslave us.
But the good news, my friends, is they don't have the constitutional authority to do this. And so when people go, well, it's going to go to the courts and the courts are going to support this. No. This is why we go through what Republic Review is. The only court that has jurisdiction over things not enumerated. In other words, if the federal government takes on debt that they don't have any enumerated power, the only people to determine whether that has happened or not are the states. Madison points this out in the Virginia resolutions and the report on the Virginia resolutions, as well as his, you know, other writings, such as his Notes on Nullification of 1834. So you have to understand, my friends, the states have all the power to force the federal government to wipe out this debt and to blow down their house of cards and get back to the framework and structure that the Constitution and the framers gave us in the very beginning. It's almost like how Satan, through sins, chains people and just chains them down. And if you're a Christian and understand the atonement and understand the love of Christ and understand how those sins can be wiped away by the power of Christ and his atonement, the Constitution is in a very similar mode. That the states, not the Savior, but the states have the authority, because Christ doesn't govern governments or what people have created. He has his gospel, he has his church, what have you. He's only concerned about the salvation of mankind, but he's given us this Constitution and expecting us to be vigilant in maintaining it. And so he has created a covenant or a compact for the states where the states can come in as we look at the monstrosity, the Leviathan that has been created by these maniacal people. And in so doing, the states can actually, just like throwing water on a witch and just watch it melt away. This house of cards is not legitimate. Are they printing money? Absolutely. Are they doing things? Are they hurting people? Absolutely. And it can all stop. It can all stop. And that's the beauty of our Constitution, that's the beauty of its design, and that's the beauty of the way the states were given as the parties, inherent within basic contract law, as the parties, they have the ultimate say. So anyway, let me just kind of move into G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, because I want to be able to poke you some more and ask you, what is it going to take to get you involved? So President Biden pledged $4 billion to the COVAX program, the International COVID-19 Vaccine Project of the Bill Gates-founded Gavi, G-A-V-I, organization, led by the World Health Organization and G7 countries. The money will be used for a no-fault compensation program for vaccine injuries in 92 low- and middle-income countries. The money also will be used to purchase 1.3 billion vaccine doses for poor countries. And so why are we doing this? Why are we inflicting this harm upon them? Because we know that the vaccines that are being produced are not good. We know that there's crap in them, and we know that this isn't really about COVID. This is about trying to write an OS or trying to basically change a person's genetic code and engineering because of the engineering editing that they have done within these COVID vaccines. These things have been identified, and G. Edward Griffin has commented on these things before. So anyway, American and European taxpayers will pay for the injuries and deaths, not the companies that make the products that cause them. Oh, I want you to also know that the euro, the European Economic Union, is actually buying American debt right now because we're printing it like nobody's business. They all want to have a hook in us. Why is that? We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so this next story kind of shows how Mexico is waking up to genetic modified and our genetically engineered food and biological products. And so the Mexican president, J. Edward Griffin reports, Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador, has pledged to phase out the use of the herbicide glyphosate, I think, if that's correct, and the cultivation of genetically modified corn and eventually genetically modified corn imports. Under NAFTA, the United States has seen a 400% increase in corn exports to Mexico. Obrador's policies have begun to favor Mexican producers, particularly small-scale farmers, and to protect consumers alarmed by the rise of chronic disease associated with high-fat, high-sugar processed foods. Genetically modified corn producers and exporters in the United States are considering lawsuits against Mexico over the bans. Are you kidding me? Mexico is only banning genetically modified corn. However, natural corn crops will be allowed to be imported into Mexico. I mean, good on them. But this is a myopic issue. This is a very specific market space and very specific product. I mean, corn is it's a commodity, right? This doesn't cover all the commodities, just corn. But they're waking up to realize that these genetically modified food substances, specifically corn, is very problematic. So why is it that Mexico's leading on this and not America? This is an indictment on what in the heck is going on in our republic. We should not be allowing, and as a matter of fact, we should be promoting not genetically modified, but, you know, organic or wholesome foods. I know that people say, oh, well, because we've been able to modify these things, we've made them drought resistant or bug resistant or what have you. Yeah, but we, just like asbestos, when they created asbestos, they had no idea the effect it would have on the life of the human being and the quality of life. And now Dow Jones, or is it Dow Corning, I think, Dow Corning is, you know, living with this lawsuit over their heads of trying to settle all of this stuff, as if they actually knew in the production, in the making of this. Now, maybe at some point in time they might have learned, but to hold them accountable for all of the damage that they've done, why is it that we even went down that path? Because they were just trying to innovate. Well, when it comes down to food, we shouldn't be innovating and actually sending. There needs to be long-term trials and studies when anybody goes down and starts modifying the organic nature of our food products, period. Anybody that is buying into these Petri dish, you know, hamburgers and these biological, supposedly modified meat or non-meat products out there, you take these things and in 5-10 years you have all sorts of problems, then that's just proves the point that in science it takes time to measure results, and it takes immediate access to the market to make money. If you understand the pressures of the economy and the ability to actually make your money, sometimes the profits outweigh the actual testing and the actual clarification whether these products are actually going to cause harm or not. We should be leading in this. And as a matter of fact, we should actually, like I said before, the states need to actually start taking over and saying, we're not going to allow these types of products to be grown on our soil, period. Because you realize that as these kind of crops, these genetically modified plants, actually create pollen, they cross-pollinate with others, they have adverse effects even in the environment. Now, as you know, I really am trying to avoid the COVID news vaccines from dominating the market. But here's actually some information regarding the vaccine research that J. Edward Griffin's exposed or has found. J. Edward Griffin has reported mainstream media claims that Pfizer's RNA vaccines have been effective in reducing rates of COVID infection in Israel. But Dr. Hervé Silgman, a professor of infectious disease, and engineer Haim Yativ closely examined the statistics and concluded that the Pfizer vaccine killed about 40 times more elderly people than the disease itself would have killed. Isn't that interesting? Among younger people, the death rate among those receiving the vaccine was 260 times greater than it would have been if the vaccine were not given. The researchers said that the death count in the vaccinated group is undoubtedly too low because it has yet to account for the delayed deaths that are expected from the long-term complications. To date, Israel has vaccinated over 53% of its population. Twice the percentage of the next closest nation, which is Britain, is at 26%. And I'm here to tell you that this is the vaccine that the DOD calls the veterans and everybody else, hey, you're on our list to actually give you this vaccine. You can opt out. And actually, they don't tell you that you can opt out. What they tell you is, you know, press 1 if you want it, press 2 if you want to opt out or you've already had it. I think they actually should have 3 options, because they should say if you want to opt out, because then we know how many people are rejecting the vaccine. Now we have empirical data to say, I don't even want the vaccine. But what they've done is either you take the vaccine or you probably have already had it or you've opted out. They don't know what that real number is on those people that don't want the vaccine from them. Anyway, as we move forward, remember, an old scientific theory, or I should say it's a fundamental law, it takes time to measure results. Here's a good one. The Los Angeles School District is launching a Microsoft-developed COVID tracking app that will coordinate students and employee health checks. District-managed COVID tests and vaccinations, students will answer a daily questionnaire about whether they have any symptoms, after which the Daily Pass, quote-unquote, app will issue the child a scannable QR code to be scanned by staff, who will also take the child's temperature. All data will be reported as required to health authorities. Now, when we talk about health authorities, these are actually enforcement authorities. These are not people that are, you know, actually, you know, making sure that you've got the right nutrition or making sure that your infection or what. They're not like nurses and doctors. These are probably bureaucrats that are being hired to make sure that people are in compliance. And one of the things that I believe will be integral in, you know, moving forward with these apps and so forth is whether you have been vaccinated or not, so that you can be shunned, you can be isolated and actually oppressed and or victimized because you chose not to get vaccinated. Isn't it great living in America? Now, G. Edward Griffin reports Democrat U.S. Representative Jimmy Panetta and Ted Lieu, or Lau, are leading a group of 31 House Democrats who have requested Joe Biden to renounce his sole authority as president to launch nuclear weapons. The pair suggested alternatives that included oversight by the Vice President and Speaker of the House, certifications from the Secretary of Defense that the strike order was valid, as well as certification from the Attorney General that it was legal, consultation with a permanent council of congressional leaders, and a formal declaration of war by Congress, which is the constitutional option. Biden's cognitive abilities have been questioned, and Democrats fear allowing him sole discretion over launching nuclear weapons. Isn't that interesting? Now, all of a sudden, the Democrats have gained some level of conscience concern over Biden's mental capacity. Well, shoot, so quickly after the election, this is an indictment of how they have lied and bamboozled the American people. Then this needs to be a part of the marketing. This not only needs to be a part of the marketing for, you know, the Constitution Party, but this needs to be the marketing against the Socialist Democrats. They'll lie and deceive us over anything to the means, or I should say the ends justify the means. That is their mantra, the ends justify the means. It doesn't matter. They don't care about the truth. They just care about obtaining their end. Anyway, another J. Edward Griffin report, recent attacks on Asians in California and in New York have been blamed on racism caused by Donald Trump because he called COVID-19 the China virus. However, the Washington, really, if people equated it to that, you know, that everybody that happens to be a descendant is the problem or the source. However, the Washington Post reported tensions between Asian and black communities date back decades and have been reignited by videos that show black perpetrators in many of the recent attacks on Asian Americans. According to a survey of criminal victimization published in 2018 by the Bureau of Justice Statistics, blacks committed 90% of the interracial felonies and whites committed less than 10%. But we have a white supremacy problem. Can't you see? I mean, obviously, white supremacy is the UN, as we just reported a day ago, that the UN considers white supremacy a plague upon the world. They are lying and they're obfuscating the facts. What's it going to take to get you involved? I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.